home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
And he crushes one to left field. This ball high and deep, and there it is. The first major league home run for Jose Siri. A two-run laser to left. And the Astros lead this game 9-0. This ball drilled to left center field. Jose Siri has done it again. What a night. In his first major league start, 4 for 5, 2 home runs, 5 runs batted in. Incredible night. It's 15-1.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you all are safe. I know down south, probably a lot tougher than it is up here. John, Lance, and Aaron, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. We're going to have Coach Jimbo. Jimbo Fisher is going to join us to talk about his quarterback situation. That'll happen in about 14 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Sage Rosenfels at 9:15 to talk about our Texans. He's breaking it all down. As a matter of fact, he'll do that this morning with the All 22. So we will hear from him at 9:15. We asked him to do it earlier, and he said, "No. I want as much time as I possibly can to break down all the tape." That's the dedication. Now he also does it in Chicago. It's not going to be nearly as fun there, breaking down Andy Dalton and what happened there against the Rams.
No,
but I'm sure he's having a good time looking at what the Texans were able to do to the vaunted Jaguars team. So let me ask you this question. I know Yordan had 2 homers, too. That's fine. But Jose Siri right now has an OPS of 1778. Do you think now that Jose Siri maybe could be the greatest player in baseball history?
I can tell you what. Of all the Jose's that the Astros have had, he's behind Cruz. He's behind Altuve, for sure. So he's
He's right there, though.
Well, he's coming up, but I can't think of another
Lima?
Jose. Okay, he's behind Lima. So Siri right now, I think I feel comfortable now saying he's the fourth best Jose the Houston Astros have ever had.
Siri, how many home runs will Jose hit tonight?
9.
It's impossible to say.
Siri, guess how many home runs Jose Siri will have?
Probably 2.
Well, yeah. Probably. At this rate.
You heard the sound bites. He had 2 home runs last night in his first official start. He had had some at-bats before then, but that was his first official start. And
now he's a notoriously fast starter.
You know what happened this year.
Yeah.
He ripped off that fast start.
At Sugar Land, you'll remember he had like 30 RBIs in the first 12 games or something. It was ridiculous how well he started. He cooled off. You know what? He still ended up hitting .318.
By the way, do we want to just...
For Sugar Land this year.
Yeah, no, he still
369
had a great,
on base, .552 slugging.
And this is the problem you have now. It looks like Jake Meyers may have lost his job to Jose Siri.
That is a problem.
So we had... Chaz McCormick lost his job to Jake.
No,
Miles Straw lost his job to Chaz McCormick, who lost his job to Jake Meyers,
right,
who's now apparently, even though Siri was not playing center field, you're not keeping Uncle Mike out, even though he hasn't hit that well. Kyle Tucker's a stalwart in the lineup. So it looks like, unfortunately, Rake Meyers, as he's known affectionately, looks like Rake Meyers has lost his job to Jose Siri.
Hey, what the hell? As soon as his OPS is up to 1778, then we'll put Jake Meyers back in there.
Hey Siri, how good is Jose Siri?
This season, Jose Siri is hitting .556
with
2 home runs, 5 runs batted in, 2 stolen bases, and an OPS of 1.778 in 6 games.
Wow, Siri. That's real. Siri just told us that.
Siri was like,
he's got two.
Oh, you want to know? You want to know?
Are you sure you want to know this? Sure? Okay. He's got a 1700 OPS.
Yeah.
Boom, Siri dab.
All right.
So 1700 OPS, is last I checked, is outstanding.
Yeah.
Now, are we just going to.
Siri, go ahead. How good is Jake Odorizzi?
Well, that answers it.
She's not.
No, I'd say that's her answer.
That's
her
answer. Watch this. Now, he left last night. Hey, do you think he was pissed that Dusty pulled him?
Hey,
Siri. Of course, he couldn't walk, but how do you think Odorizzi was pissed?
Does Chaz McCormick still play baseball?
Your message to Chad Clay says, does Chaz McCormick still play baseball?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know if he played baseball? How am I supposed to know?
I'm watching Oklahoma State tape.
Oh, man.
So Odorizzi left in the second inning. I thought, uh-oh, he's going to be really pissed off. I saw him walking off the field.
He got yanked out of there.
Yeah, yanked in the second.
He got yanked out of there.
Up 9-0.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, we don't trust you to finish this game. I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be bad.
Nothing personal. We just want to turn this into a win.
Yeah.
This
is going to be bad.
By the way, are we just going to sit there and just ignore the fact that Yordan Alvarez also had a couple bombs.
It's the Jose Siri day, okay?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Is there anybody we could talk to? Hey, Alvarez. You can't say, hey, Alvarez, can you tell me something? You can say, hey, Siri, can you tell me something? But yeah, Odorizzi is really, Jake Odorizzi is a problem right now. He had a foot problem, and I'm not sure when he'll be able. He exited the game with a sore foot, up 7-0. And you know, Jake, he wants his innings, right? Because he was going to be pissed off if you didn't give him his innings.
Jake needs his innings because they're tied to money.
Yeah. Well, how about that? He's going to fall short of 100.
No, he's still. Looks like Jake is out. Jake will take a wheelchair out there to get through an inning.
Yeah, he covered first and stepped wrong or did something wrong, and then he had to leave. And in comes
Christian Javier,
and he was able to stem the tide. You know, he was able to hold on to that 9-0 lead, which was nice, which was really nice. That's the way that you jump on the Rangers.
That's how you treat them. Honestly.
I felt bad. You know those people that spend all that money? They've got suites right behind home plate. Did you see?
I feel bad for suite holders, too.
Well,
is that what you were saying?
Well, if you're going to spend all that money.
Yeah.
Do you not feel bad for Texan suite holders the last few years?
Wait, you didn't get to see some amazing long home runs from Yordan Alvarez and Jose Siri.
Yeah, but see, you didn't come here to see that. You came
to see the Rangers. Then that's on you.
Well, but that you live there. You want your team.
They're not good.
There was a woman behind home plate, and I was like, I feel bad for her.
What? You're literally the only person in America that feels bad for somebody sitting in the diamond level.
Right.
Seats of another team.
Well, and they're not even diamond. They're suites and the diamond level.
I know.
Right.
They're sitting there eating and drinking probably for free, especially if they don't own the suite. And I don't think you should feel sorry for that. That person probably has a pretty good life going if they're clicked up with the people that have those seats.
I don't know.
I feel bad for them.
I feel like you should get a better product than losing 15-1. That's all I'm saying.
I feel bad for them.
Unless.
Not me. You should get what you get. Oh, let me see what you get here. 53-90. That's what you deserve.
That is about what
37 below the mark. And if you're the Rangers, that's actually not true. You come to the ball games the same way you can look at the price points whenever the Astros play somebody. It's always based on who you're playing. People are coming to the game to see the Astros.
Yeah. No.
They can't be going to see the Rangers.
Well, the last time, it was during the summer, the last time the Astros were there, Todd and Callis and Blummer were like, man, there's a lot of Astros fans here. A lot of
Astros fans are really starting to travel quite a bit more.
Yep.
Quite a bit more.
So Jimbo's coming. We're going to have to take a break. But I'll tell you this. I have a nice little setup for my TVs, which was nice, mm-hmm. because that was the best Monday night start I can remember.
I need a better setup because I just go back and forth between my games. But I was that Monday Night Football games really started to catch my attention. Like I locked in on that because it was, you know, 7-1 before you knew it. And so I was really, I started locking in a little bit more with Monday Night Football. And because I am curious about certain things, I was curious about certain things yesterday for Underdog Fantasy. And honestly, when we come back, we'll have Jimbo Fisher. Yeah. But a little bit later, we'll talk about, it was an interesting game for Lamar Jackson. Ultimately, he had a couple turnovers that were very, very costly. But the Raiders almost effed up a soup sandwich. Like, it was almost the worst tie in the history of football.
Yeah.
What they put together. It was unbelievable how that game almost ended. And it kind of wasn't unbelievable how it ended. But and the Ravens may have lost another player to an injury.
How about that? It's unbelievable. All right, when we come back, we'll have Jimbo Fisher talk about the situation there in College Station with his quarterback and more right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, your home for Aggie football. Right now, though, let's talk about your home for hair. This is Doc Linville is your place. 975hair.com. 975hair.com. If you're looking for the best way to get hair on the top of your head, well, there's one way to do that, and that's to see my man, Doc Linville. He is the best. His neo-grafting machine manner is second to none. He is fantastic. You're going to really like the doc. He's a great, just a great guy. And here's the deal is what he does. The success rate that he has on the neo-grafting is tremendous. I did the other thing where they cut the back of your head and then they paste it up. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. I was going to do their advertisements and never ever did one because I just couldn't do it. This one worked. 7-8 months later, I've got hair. It takes a while for it to, they plant it in there and then it grows and it's like, holy cow, what an unbelievable process it is. And you will love, you're looking for hair, guys, you're thinning or you're balding, go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is the bench on ESPN 97.5 on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach Jimbo Fisher, head coach of your Aggs, every week brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Those are good Aggs, too. If you haven't been over there to watch football games, I was out there Sunday, as a matter of fact, watching our Texans, and it's just awesome. So if you're looking for a great place to watch your Aggies and your Houston Texans, get on over to Damaris Barbecue. It's right at 290 and 610. And then they got the other location at Alabama and Shepherd. Coach is coming in. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well. Coach, I know everybody wants to ask you about the quarterback situation. We'll do that. But first, sometimes games have got to be won by defense. And can you talk about the job that Mike Elko did and that defense did in keeping you, not only keeping you in that game, but winning that football game?
Well, I think we did. And it's funny, we turned our game up at the end of the second quarter. We still were playing really good defense, then we went to playing great defense. And that's what we're capable of all the time. And I think, you know, hopefully our team took a step there to realize that, you know, sometimes you can't just play okay. And then, I mean, when they played for about the middle of the second quarter, after we got to stop down there on the drive on the 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, because they had about 3 drives right there, they scored, we lost contained, and made some just some plays on edges on the circuit, let the quarterback get out for a touchdown drive. They went back down again, missed a field goal, luckily. And we held them on 3rd and 2, 4th and 1. And we were getting they were getting after us a little bit. They were running the football, knocking us around a little bit, getting some cutoffs on the backside. And we got that stop. And then from then on, it wasn't anything. And from the middle of the second half on, we really dominated the football game. And, you know, I think about 54 yards in the second half, 1 first down. Our guys started playing like the capabilities of what they did. They affected the quarterback. Did a great job, I thought, of staying in rush lanes. And still, I think we batted 6 or 7 balls in the game. Hit the quarterback 2 or 3 times. Got a couple sacks. Started really fitting the run so much better and containing the edges, not letting him get outside on the boots and naked. The quarterback playing runs and all those things. And, I mean, we're outstanding in the football game the last 2.5 quarters. I mean, really good first half, but, I mean, really outstanding the last 2.5 quarters.
Well, let's get to what a lot of people are curious about, obviously, and that's the health of Haynes King, what happened in it, and what you know, what the prognosis is long term for him, or even short term.
Well, I mean, it was a break. It was as clear as it could be. It was in the lower tibia, a little crack right there. Did not go in a joint, did not displace, which is two things that really help healing. Put screws in it, and I'm understanding that even in the screws, when you put the screws in, you're not even really seeing the break in there. But I mean, it's going to take time to heal the break. I mean, it broke, and we have to give him full time to heal and make sure he's fully healthy, and that will be a timeline based on him and the doctors, and we'll see what happens. But you know, just a freak thing, and that's one that we're ashamed of, because ashamed that you know it happened like that, because we had a great play on the play. We just make the block right there, one play, and you know, and don't get the guy come off, things run down the field, maybe score a touchdown, and use some things. But hey, that's football. That's injuries that occurred. Zach stepped in after he got settled down and made, you know, some great drives in the game. I say offensively, we struggled as much as anything. Went from 1-10 the first 10 third downs to 7-10 in the last 10. And had a 13-play drive and 11-play drive. 11-play 86 yards, 13-play 86, 11-play 87, and the 86 didn't come out till winter. I mean, we're trying. We can't extend the ball, get knocked out right at the goal line. Don't get discouraged. And there's a lot to build from that. I say this, I always tell this all the time, quarterbacks and all players, measure them on their bad days. What do they do when they struggle, things aren't going right? And a lot of people can play well when it's going right. But for offense to suck it back up and go right back down the field twice and make the plays we did. And the other guy is Isaiah Spiller. I mean, Isaiah was outstanding in the game and only had 20 yards rushing, had 6 catches. His leadership, his blocking. I mean, his ability on the sideline to keep guys in the mode of winning. And it was unbelievable. Our defense was too. Defense was very supportive. Guys, we'll stop them. We'll get the one drive. And those guys, they sucked it up, went and made a play. And there's something to learn from that. Now we got to learn that we can't put ourselves in that situation. We got to block better on the offensive line. We got to get more holes. We got to create better things. And there's a lot of, and I mean, there was inches here and there that we had lots of plays. That's, you know, it's not coach talk. That's a fact. I mean, you're not as far away as you think, but also you are if you don't correct those problems and understand the urgency and what you got to do it with. And give credit to Colorado. They had a good plan. They schemed us, you know, those off-season teams. Put some schemes out there. We adjusted as the game went on, and we had changed our game plan a little bit when Haynes went out. So we adjusted the things we had, and our kids found a way to win, but at the same time, not satisfied at all with, you know, sometimes you got to go figure out how to win those games. And we did, and also our punter, Nick Constantine, was excellent in the game and helping in the field position. He averaged 49 yards a punt, and we netted 44 yards a punt. So we did some good things in the game, but there's still a lot of things to work on early in the season.
So it sounds like you do expect that you're not ruling out Haynes King. You do expect him to be back at some point this year.
I can't say that. Okay. I mean, I have no. I mean, some guys heal different. I mean, I've had guys that say that longer, shorter. My mind is Zach Calzada is our quarterback. Going to be our quarterback, and listen, Zach can be a really good quarterback and really play. And our job is to put things around him, and our job is for players to play around him and do the things they got to do.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One thing I saw, I hadn't seen Zach before that, Coach. One thing I saw is a guy with a huge arm. He throws it 100. Yeah. He throws it 100 miles an hour. Unfortunately, he throws it 100 miles an hour every time, it seems, on swing passes. And he is unloading. Is there any, how to put this, a little touch might help him?
He puts touch and there's everything. A lot of that comes when you're not comfortable totally in a game yet. More of that, those things happen, and you get thrown in a game like that in the fire on the road, and we weren't playing well around it. No one on that offense was playing well around it. From the tight end to the receivers, our backs were doing a solid job, and our offensive line wasn't playing great. So, I mean, you're in there, you're under pressure, guys ain't getting open like they need to get open, some of the things that need to happen, and your natural thing is, and your adrenaline's up, you're going to throw it. And go back and look at the touchdown pass. It's tremendously touch fast. There's a couple other passes in that drive that are really touch passes. So, I mean, that'll be better, and I've watched him do it 1,000 times. That comes with comfort, comes with confidence in what you're doing, and just getting in the game and playing the game. He'll be fine in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I've seen your comments from yesterday, I think it was, coaching, and you what you really liked about him was his poise at the end.
Hello?
Yeah, Coach, did you hear me? What you said is, and what was really neat was his poise at the end of the game.
Yeah, guys, we went down a 13-play drive and 12-play drive in the first 7 of our last 10 drives. And the play that he hit was the third read on the play. And he made a beautiful third read, so getting pressure going to his left. There's a throw in there. He hit, you go back and watch him hit Chase Lane going left on a third and 10, a third and 8, I think it was, or whatever. And I mean, Chase has discovered as tight as you can be. He sticks it running left, right dead in his belly. Chase makes a tremendous, really good catch, contested catch. He makes it. I mean, the guy, when he had to make those two drives, it went down and he poised his execution. And also his determination and competitiveness. Like I said, it was a run that, you know, he lost the ball on was really a good run. I mean, he broke out of the pocket, made a guy miss, did the things he had to do, scrambled on another big third down about a third and four. I mean, and people underestimate his leg. He's a good athlete. He can move around. He can do things. He just needs time in the pocket. He just needs time back there to play. And we need to play well around him and let him get in the groove, and he'll be fine. Because the one thing he can do, he can distribute the ball all over the field, and he can definitely get the ball down the field.
Coach, I saw a play in the first quarter, and it caught my eye because I'm watching this guy for draft purposes. And I thought, boy, this is a teachable moment for Jimbo and his staff. Hansford, who I'm a big, big fan of, he got a little tangled up as an inside run in the first quarter. Running back broke free, and he was not hustling on the backside to get back into that play. And the play kept going. There was a broken tackle. And all I could think of, because I'm, like I said, I think he's a really talented player. However, that's not the effort that it takes on a day-by-day basis. And you put that on tape, and scouts are going to see that stuff. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts from a coaching standpoint. When you see stuff on tape that isn't what you want, is that valuable for you at times to be able to say, okay, this is a moment where I get a really imprint on, you know what I mean?
We rank every play. Every play, yeah. There's a number of loafs, and there's consequences for loafing. Listen, loafing is never a choice. That's effort. Effort is non-negotiable. I don't care what's going on. You can't do that. That's what the difference I said we were playing in the second quarter to the difference we played in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
There was a flying urgency to consistently dominate the game, knowing we had to, and we did. And that's something that teams have to grow up on. And I'm going to tell you, now, we punish loafs, we get on loafs. But, you know, and like I tell them, when you want to play in the league, all you're doing is what you're putting on film, people see. Offense, defense, everywhere.
That's right.
I mean, you can say kids motivate. Well, then, listen, you better put it on film, guys, because everything you do is getting evaluated. Every situation of every and they're making a character judgment, because character is about effort is about character.
Mm. Guys
character
who never
effort is about totally doing everything right, no matter what the circumstances, with maximum effort.
Well, those guys who don't quit on plays, I mean, that's the first thing that pops. Well, it's two things. If you loaf on from the backside, or if you're busting ass from the backside, either one of those catches your eye.
Offensively too, chasing the ball. We act like even the guys only got supposed to chase the ball. Offensive guys must chase the ball because you have fumbles, you have things that go on, you get extra blocks, guys break tackles. I mean, guys, that is a non-negotiable thing. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean this, the football players today, it's something you have to really, 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 really coach even as hard or harder than you ever have in your life.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I saw a pro in DeMarvin Leal. Of course, I'm not saying anything everybody doesn't know, but that dude, for a while during that game, Coach, was unblockable.
Who'd you say?
DeMarvin Leal.
Leal was. Peavy was the SEC lineman of the week.
Peavy
had all the time.
He had the pick, too.
Those guys were relentless. Yeah. Michael Clemens was. Johnson was. I thought a big play in the game, but Michael Clemens got a very good clean hit on their quarterback. And I mean, really hit him. I think he affected him after the game. I really did. I think he had a great play. But I thought Leal went inside, allowed us to keep Johnson and Clemens on the field at end. A lot of our experience. And he became very disruptive inside, and that even helped PB inside. We became a much different defense.
And, oh, by the way, Coach, that Colorado team is pretty – they're going to win some football games.
Oh, let me tell you something. Their front seven on defense, is a very physical, big group of guys who played really hard. The linebackers, I mean, fit thing. We had guys blocked, and then we had hats to hat, and they out-physicaled us at times to take the holes away. I mean, and that was disturbing. That's, and like I said, getting after our guys about that. They were a very physical football team. We kept wearing and tearing, playing down, and then their backs did a good job. You know, they're a good football team. They're coached well. They played hard, and they were ready to play us. And, you know, we found a way to win, which I'm very thankful for. Hopefully now, if you learn those lessons like that, and then take advantage of what you have to do, then you can become a good football team.
Yeah. All right, before you go, this week, this game coming up, Coach.
New Mexico. I mean, a pain in the tail on offense as far as, I mean, for their defense against our offense. It's Rocky Long. I mean, everything is creating bear every way you can. Edge blitzes, Mike blitzes, running down the blitzes, inside crisscrosses. basically play, I mean, play a quarter shell with two and mix in and out and play eight guys to the box at times and run all, almost all formations. Force you to make certain throws, make sure you start certain runs, constant movement and blitzes. Offensively, same way, multiple formations, movement, O motion from your receivers, and they go back, creating split divide zones, and the quarterback, as I say, the cutters then become quarterback lead blockers. You got an athletic quarterback. I mean, a ton of different things, eye violations, and very, very well coached team. It will be a pain in the tail, and they're 2-0 and four games in a row.
Yep. And they got a kid that transferred from a Power 5 school at quarterback. So that's happening a lot when you see these smaller schools. Now you're getting a lot of talent at the smaller school. So
this transfer portal changed college football now, big time.
Oh yeah, big time. Especially for the smaller schools, they're getting these Power 5 kids, and it's working out pretty good. Well, we appreciate it, Coach. That was a. Well, I don't know how fun it was for you, but it was great to see at the end. That was a lot of fun watching you guys pull that one out. And best of luck this week against New Mexico.
Well, fun to understand how to win. And like I say, there's still a lot of fortitude. As much as I am knowing there's issues and upset about a lot of things, there's still a fortitude to know you guys don't quit no matter what the circumstances. And to go put together the drives like we had in the defense play like we did in the second half to do what we had to do. I was very proud of our guys. Now we got to move forward and get better.
That's it. All right, Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging.
Thank you.
All right. There's Jimbo Fisher, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Again, go watch your Aggs take on New Mexico right there, 11 o'clock. And, of course, you got your wing specials during your professional football games here at Damaris Barbecue. That one's at 290 and 610, and, of course, the other location. And if you're ever looking for any kind of catering, these guys are unbelievable. They do everything. It's not just barbecue. They do everything. All right. Let's talk about HRP right now. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Those are our people, too. We love what they do for us. They will do for you as well. If you're looking for the best way to right now get that payroll done, and you know what? There's other ones that they're going to go, our payroll is less. Look, it's cheaper. Guess what? In the long run, not even in the long run, it's all going to cost you more because they're also going to stick you with their 401k. They're also going to stick you with their benefits packages. They're going to stick you with all of these different packages that you'd insurance that you don't want or that they own or that they're making money off of. That's not what they do at HR&P. HR&P is just about payroll and HR, and that's it. And then they're going to give you options for what you can use, all of your benefit packages. They give you the options for that, and you save money. It'll be a better price at HR&P. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN. 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 732 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jimbo Fisher with us here every week. Good stuff from the coach. A little bit later in the show, Sage Rosenfels is going to join us here to talk about our Texans. Our Texans look like they're getting Anthony Miller back. When asked about Anthony Miller yesterday, Coach Culley said, yeah, we think we're going to have him back. So that is a question that was asked and answered.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different. We got something a little bit different from the coach yesterday.
You know, how are they going to use him?
Well, that's interesting.
You taking out Danny Amendola?
Well, you really don't have to because Danny Amendola, with five catches, I think he played 12 plays.
Well, Danny Amendola scored a touchdown. Like, Danny Amendola came out and immediately made an impact.
And in 12 plays, he had five catches. And so there's a lot more plays out there.
You sure that's all he played?
That's it. Go look at his
snaps. It must be formational then.
Yeah.
I'll go look at the play.
Plus, he was probably limited on the playbook.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, had to be.
He wasn't on the field, and when he was on the field, he was catching passes and he was making plays. But that'll be interesting to see.
Did Alex Erickson? Did he?
He died.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, rest in peace, Alex Erickson. But that was kind of funny. Was, you know, everybody was, oh, you got Danny Amendola, another Patriot. Blah, blah, he's 38 years old or whatever he is. Blah, and everybody was choking on it. And I don't know, you know, it was like, really, Danny Amendola, another, we got another Patriot here. Are you guys, it's almost clownish how every single Patriot. Now, Vincent Taylor he's done. Okay. He's going to have surgery.
Is he done for sure?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah, he's done.
You were reading off some of the names of free agents available.
Yeah.
There's some decent free agents.
Yeah.
I mean, at least name recognition. I mean, it wouldn't be street free agents if it wasn't for a reason.
No. Geno Atkins, former all-pro defensive lineman. But probably the lock is Bo Allen, who played for the Patriots. He's probably a lock to be with the Texans here because he did play with the Patriots. So it just is amazing that they get every single guy.
No, you're probably right. He's 29 years old, too. By the way, Amendola, 19 snaps. So only 19? And 16 in receiving. So three running plays, 16 receiving snaps. When he was in the game, they were passing for the most part. So, yeah, that's
I'm not bringing him in to run the ball, that's for sure.
Five targets, five catches, 34 yards, as you mentioned. Two of them went for a first down. One of them went for a touchdown. He was dependable. Anthony Miller's got more vertical ability, so they're different types of receivers. And actually, Miller can play outside or from the slot, but I think they're going to rotate some different, depending on what they want to get out of the look. I think Anthony Miller will be one of the guys who gets vertical, and Danny Amendola is going to do the short stuff. And then you got Chris Conley outside. I got to see how many snaps Chris Conley got because I don't feel like I saw him as much.
No, Kinnico was in there quite a bit.
Chris Conley snaps, well, okay. He had 43 snaps.
Well, that's a lot of snaps.
It's a lot of snaps. 28 in run blocking. And 12 receiving. So right now, there's some tendencies that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And that's that, you know, Chris Conley.
By the way, Coach talked about, I like to call him Coach Cully.
Yeah.
He talked about Nico and blocking really well. So I wonder how many snaps did Nico.
Blocker come out.
See how many snaps.
13 run block, 30 receiving.
Okay. By the way, Vincent Taylor is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. He was carted off the field with an ankle injury. And has been told it requires surgery. All these ankle injuries are 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, but it could
be longer.
It could be a whole year.
It could be longer.
Yeah, it could be a whole year. And Brandon Cooks, by the way, he led the team 62 snaps.
62.
So we got six. So he and Nico, so it was Brandon Cooks as one primary receiver. Nico and Chris Conley were both on the field or sharing snaps. And then you had Amendola for just a few. Relatively speaking, 16. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle Anthony. You know, Brevin Jordan, the tight end, was he was inactive because Anthony Auclair, who I thought did a great job of blocking in the preseason, he's a more physical tight end. And so he was on the roster, and they were playing. David Culley was asked about running 13 personnel. 13 personnel is one running back, three tight ends. And he basically just said, hey, it's we're going to do what we do and what we're set up to do. And if it means running three tight ends and banging the ball downhill, then that's what we're going to do. But I do think right now that you look at the tight end setup, they have Farrell Brown's become a little better player than I expected. Auclair is a physical player. You have Jordan Akins. You have maybe Brevin Jordan in the future. You know, when you look at it, John, and you look at the wide receivers we just talked about and Miller coming back, and then you've got David Johnson can come out of the backfield – you actually have a lot of variety in a way. I'm not saying it's all high end, but you have a lot to choose from at running back, even though Mark Ingram got 26 carries. It felt like I saw Philip Lindsay more. It felt like I saw 30 on the field more than his very few carries he had. But you do have some different players that you can lock in on. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm sitting here acting like it's a good thing. But the more I think about it, it's kind of like fantasy football. When you have a bunch of options at wide receiver, you got to figure out who the right options are every week. When you know who your best players are, it's a lot easier just to say, okay, it's DeAndre Hopkins, it's Brandon Cooks, you know, and I don't even remember who the third, Randall Cobb is just a guy. But when you know who your two best guys are, it's a little easier on quarterback sometimes. Sometimes it's not great to have too many options.
No. Well, but they're doing a lot of 13. Anthony Auclair, who just got called off the practice squad and was brought up and, oh, by the way, he took the place of the rookie, Jordan Brevin. He was active and Brevin's wasn't. He had 33 snaps. Akins had 47 and Farrell Brown had 59. So they were doing some 13, and Coach talked about it, that as well, is they got into some 13 personnel, which is, you know what, you're gonna run the football more than likely, and they didn't have all that much success doing that, if you want to know the truth. So you know what, maybe
no, Farrell, they can't show you 3 running backs all averaged under 4 yards a carry.
Yeah,
they can't line up, show you run. And impose their will. They have to use misdirection. They have to change formations. They can't just say, okay, we're going to run, stop us, because this is what will happen. The other team will go, okay. I mean, that's fine if y'all want to do it that.
My snap count has Amendola with 17, not 19, but okay. Neither here nor there. But here's the deal is, you know, how do you use Anthony Miller now? How do you use Danny Amendola? Danny Amendola is going to have another week in the system where he's going to be able to learn some more plays. And you know what? Danny Amendola looks to be a little bit of a weapon.
He's going to be a factor. I'm going to tell you what. He's going to be a factor. When I say factor, I mean take it with a grain of salt. But he's a quick throw. He's going to run the short routes. He's a quick throw. And Tyrod Taylor has a chance to get the ball out quickly to Amendola, who's a pretty good route runner, obviously. Look at him. He's a coach on the field. He's sneaky quick. All of the things that you would expect out of a Danny Amendola, former inside slot receiver from the New England Patriots. But I think that he is going to be a factor because he's going to be the easy throw where he settles into zones quickly, or he's got the quick outs. It's not going to be the longest throw. They're going to be short throws. Yeah. That's how you catch 5 times for 34 yards.
Yep.
You don't do that getting down the field.
Nope. Okay, so tell me which one you want. PJ Hall, who was here last year. Do you want Geno Atkins, who was a all-pro Geno Atkins, 8-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Damon Harrison, whose name is Snacks, so you can get your kid a jersey.
Yeah.
With his number on it, and it would be correct. He'd be Snacks. Former Carolina Panther Kawan Short, who was a 2-time Pro Bowler. Or Bo Allen, who was a former Patriot. Which one?
Oh, the Patriot.
Patriot.
Because you know the Patriot way.
Well, right. Well, do you want to win or don't you?
It's called the Texans way.
Who's the only team in the division with a win? The former Patriots.
Snacks, Harrison's 32. Geno Atkins is 33. P.J. Hall's younger, but doesn't matter. He didn't do as much last year. I mean, he was okay, but he was part of a team that allowed too much running. It's going to be more about your nose. I know it's one-gap type stuff, but you do want a guy who's a little sturdier. Bo Allen's got some strength. I could see Atkins if he wanted to play still. I could see really any of those guys. I think Bo Allen, Snacks, Harrison. And the fact that Harrison can't land anywhere, can't stick with anywhere, bothers me a little bit.
Geno These guys Atkins were getting older. Pro Bowlers not long ago.
Kawan Short, what has happened to
him? I know. Kawan Short was a good player.
Kawan Short's also 33. Wow. I mean, 32. He's been around a little bit, too. He hasn't done much. When I look at the stats, I don't think it's going to be Kawan Short. Because looking at the stats right now for Kawan Short, he has... Come on, just give me his stats, NFL. Why are you bullcorning? You know, he had 3 tackles in 19. He had 6 tackles in 20. It doesn't really sound like he's done much football. He's played 5 games the last 2 years. I would say Kawan Short is not going to be the guy.
Okay, that says you. He seems like he's rested.
That's one way of looking at it.
No, it is. All right, when we come back, we got to take a look at that Raiders. We got to talk about that Raiders game and other news around. There's all kinds of news around the NFL and college football. As a matter of fact,
if you guys are joining us, jump in on the phone line too. Curious to see how many of you went into work. It's not for a lot of us here in the Houston area, Harris County area.
Oh, yeah? Are you watching Jeff Ealing?
I see. No, they're going to find the bad places.
Jeff Ealing right now is some tree fell through a house.
Yeah, they're going to find, if you had something happen at your house or if you got some standing water, they're going to find it.
Oh, yeah.
They will. The news crews are going to find it.
Look at that tree go right through that house.
But I don't know, for us here in the in Standard Harris County, I think we did not get the rain that we were expecting because it floods easily in the Galleria area off Richmond, and that I came in not a care in the world on Richmond, and it doesn't take a lot to flood Richmond.
No. All right, when we come back, we'll do all that. But right now, let's talk about getting better in
how's that
in the bedroom, getting better. Sometimes you feel like you're coming up short, or if you're coming up short a lot, or if you're worried about coming up short, or whatever the shortages you're having, GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. You get a free online evaluation. No visit to the doctor's office, although you will talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional, and they'll work with you to find the best treatment. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. So it's discreet. It's straightforward. It's easy. It's not leaving your home. It's not feeling at all. There's the anxiety is taken out of it. GetRoman.com/John. Complete the online visit. Take care of your ED without even leaving home. So go to GetRoman.com/John, and you get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now. Save $15 off your first month of treatment. That's GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a game last night. Did you stay up for it? That was one hell of a football game. It was the first time they had an overtime game in the opener, in the Monday night opener, in forever. And that's kind of surprising. But you want to talk about screwing up a soup sandwich. Holy crap. So the Raiders, on their first possession, go down and for an apparent score. All of a sudden, Brian Edwards came out of nowhere. Brian Edwards was he loves Darren Waller, and the thought is that Henry Ruggs is going to be his main receiver. But, man, he was going to Brian Edwards, it seemed like, every play. And Brian Edwards is making play after play after play, caught everything that Derek Carr was throwing. Anyway, he catches a bomb. He catches the bomb, and he dives for the end zone. And they feel like he thought he scored the touchdown, but his knee was down right before he crossed the goal line.
At the half yard line?
Half yard line, yeah.
Maybe?
I think they put it at the one, though, when they went back out there. So they're all on the field celebrating. We won the football game, first possession of overtime, so it's over because we scored a touchdown, blah, 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 blah. Nope. After review, we come back on the field. What are they? Alex Underwood. Oh, my God. He jumps. Alex Leatherwood jumps offsides.
From the you score, you win.
Well, first, Derek Carr gets stopped.
Well, you score a touchdown.
A touchdown, you win. Derek Carr gets stopped on a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Then Leatherwood jumps offside. Then they throw a pass incomplete. Then they throw another pass intercepted.
He threw a laser on a little whip route inside to Willie Snead. I don't know that he had even had a target the whole game.
No, right.
They throw it. And now the pressure was bearing down on Derek Carr. He throws a laser through his hands, hits the helmet of a defender from the Ravens, pops up in the air. They intercept it in the end zone. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You're going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Then the Ravens start to move down and go down, and then Lamar Jackson gets sacked. Did you talk about Lamar's first fumble?
No.
So Lamar's first fumble in regulation, it was 17-10. He fumbles. Mm-hmm. He's trying to run. He's running for what looks like he's going to be close to a first down. And somebody trying to remember if I remember who it was who hit him from the side, jarred the ball loose. Raiders jump on it, and they score a touchdown. They tie the game up. And then you have I mean, a lot happened because the Ravens ended up, I mean, the Raiders ended up taking the lead on a 52-yard field goal, and then the Ravens went down the field, and Justin Tucker kicks a field goal.
No, it's the other way around. They tied it, right? No, it's the other way around. Tucker kicked the field goal, and the Raiders came back with 9 seconds.
Oh, no, that's what it was.
Yeah, and Carr drove 2 passes over the middle, and then they kicked the field goal to tie it.
2 passes, both to Brian Edwards. But, Tucker hit his, which he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel Carlson with a good long field goal. But 2 fumbles from Lamar Jackson. One leads to a game-tying touchdown in a fourth quarter, and the other one leads to but we got to finish. We got to finish how screwed up this was. The Raiders get the ball, and it's on about the 31-yard line. They get on the 31-yard line.
After Lamar fumbles for the second time. Overtime.
Yeah.
This one in overtime.
There's about and they get 4.5 minutes to go.
At about the 31-yard line.
They run the ball, gain of 1, okay, down to the 30, and all I can think of was, it's 2nd and 9. There's still over 3 minutes to go. They send the kicking team out. I'm like, why are you settling for a 47-yard field goal?
And
you're settling for a 47-yard field goal. If you miss, you're going to give them 3.5 minutes. Like, they didn't even run the clock
down.
Well,
how about this?
That's unimaginably poor clock management.
Well, how about this? It's so poor clock management. The kicker didn't know to get on the field. He's practicing. It's 2nd down, and he's out there practicing. He gets on the field late. They've got no timeouts left, so they lose 5 yards.
And a 5-yard penalty.
Because he couldn't get on the field in time. The offense goes back out there. Now
it's a 52-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Now it's a 52-yard field goal. And all I can think of was, okay, it's 2nd and 14, and the Raiders are going to do something to screw this up, and then they're going to – because I thought that he was going to try a 52-yarder then. I'm like, Gruden, what are you doing? You can still gain some yards. You can take time off the clock so the Ravens don't get the ball back. And he tried 1 pass, and it was a 0 blitz. They had everyone up front because they thought it was going to be a run. They brought everyone up, and it was a quick – they had 3 wide receivers on the left kind of stacked, quick rub route from Zay Jones, and Marlon Humphrey got caught behind – he bumped into his own guy just for a second, and all this pressure's on Derek Carr, and he just – sits back and lofts a beautiful high deep ball. Just Zay Jones, all he had to do was just keep running and running under it. It was like a pop fly in baseball. It was like a pop fly in baseball. Only not the kind you want Taylor Jones going to get, but like a regular outfielder.
Right.
Not a Taylor Jones foul.
No,
fly ball.
No,
you don't want Taylor Jones tracking this.
Zay Jones.
But any other Jones would be probably okay.
Zay was good.
Zay caught the touchdown and the Raiders, boy, I was like, okay, the most Raidery thing is going to happen is they're going to kick a field goal earlier than they need to. They're going to miss, and they're going to either end up tied or they're going to lose this game. They are clearly screwing this thing up.
And
I guarantee if they kick the field goal from 47 with Carlson, they miss. Because everyone would have had a chance to say, oh, my God, what was Gruden doing? Why was he kicking a field goal on 2nd down?
Unbelievable. Well, it was a good game. It was a fantastic game.
It was a good game.
And
Darren Waller, how good is Darren Waller? When I watched Darren Waller on tape, then I saw him at the East-West Shrine game, he was so talented.
Did you see the story about him before the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I knew the story about him, but I didn't know it at the time. I knew he got suspended for drugs.
A couple of times.
He kept getting suspended for weed in college. And so I asked him at the East-West, I said, is all that behind you? And he and I talked at the East-West for a little bit. Very humble guy, very, very quiet, unassuming guy. And little did I know that, he said yes, but really the answer was no. His demons were really coming up on him. And there are a lot of guys, I know people like to act like, oh, weed, it's not addictive, nothing happens. But there are people who get psychologically, they have a hard time stopping when they need to stop.
I mean,
which is a form of addiction.
He was bagging groceries.
He all this talent, you could see it on tape at Georgia Tech, even though they ran option, like, who's this freaky guy? And the question was, you could see the flashes, But it, there was nothing that would tell you, oh, no, he's for sure going to be a star player if he can get it together. It wasn't like that. You just saw the flashes. Like, people don't look like him at wide receiver that often, except at Georgia Tech where they crank out guys who look like that.
Calvin
like
Johnson.
Megatron, Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
So anyway, he, you know, the thing that they did with him is what I've been, I want to see if I wrote that up too, but moving big receivers to big matchup tight ends is like this massive advantage. I thought Lil Jordan Humphrey should do that. That's become the big advantage because you know what he's got? He's got wide receiver skills too. Guys can't, he gets open all the time.
Yep.
And he is right now, I would put him in one of my top, I think he's one of the top five pass catchers in the league right now.
Agreed.
I mean, and it might be, him, it might be him and Kelce. He's not stopping. You, no, can't stop
you can't
him.
Stop him. You can't stop him.
Tyreek Hill has a freaky speed advantage. Size advantage goes to Kelce and Darren Waller. Only Waller is like a plays like a wide receiver. I think those three.
And D-Hop. D-Hop is freakish.
D-Hop is still, yeah, D-Hop is still just his physicality. Those are three different ways to win. One is size and speed. One is speed. One is physicality in D-Hop. And it's in hands. It's just amazing. But watching him work yesterday, all I could think of was, man, Darren Waller, you can't guard him.
No.
He was open all the time.
Yep. All right, 757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ben, we'll get you on the other side. Anybody else wants in? 713-780-3776 is the number.
So I was out on my patio. I moved some stuff off the patio just in case and didn't need to, but it was patio is looking good. First thing I went out and checked was patio, see if there was any kind of standing water in there, and I was good to go. They went and cut a channel drain in my patio because I wanted, if water gets in there, I wanted a place for it to go out. They cut the channel drain. They plugged it into a pre-existing, well, it wasn't pre-existing. It was a drain that they had actually placed in my yard previously. And see, I mention all this because Texas Custom Patios, they handle everything for you. They can handle getting new gutters, which is what they did for me. They handle the entire exterior of homes. They handle new drainage around my patio and around my yard for me. There's so much that they're able to do when it comes to the overall project. And so, yes, they build an outdoor living space. It's amazing, but an outdoor kitchen, outdoor entertainment centers, everything that they do is top notch, and it's going to really bring you a ton of enjoyment, not to mention a ton of value to your home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com to set up your free consultation.
ESPN 97.5.